Blog Talk Radio.
Hebrews 9.
Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to it. This is our live broadcast on September the 9th at 9 a.m. So I thank you for those who've called in at 646-668-2636, listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We appreciate you taking time out to listen to us live. And also, if you received the text for the link, or you've got the link off our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we thank you for the opportunity to speak encouragement into your life, and pray that you would share this with another brother who may be able to need to hear for encouragement in this Christian walk. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about, we'll continue our conversation here for the character traits of God's man. And today we're going to talk about boldness versus fearfulness, cautiousness versus rashness, and compassion versus indifference. And we pray we'll see how far we get and if we can touch on all three of those segments. Amen. Amen. I'm over with prayer, and then we're going to get right to conversation of a couple of announcements, some upcoming men's events. And as always, gentlemen, brothers, saints, if your ministry is having a men's event, any planned men event, men's breakfast, prayer, breakfast, Bible study, please let us know. Reach out to me, text me so that we can post it, that we can send it out, that we can, again, get back at in-person fellowship. Just to let you know, well, I'm waiting to the announcements. I have some other things coming up that we're planning here coming in the fall. Amen. Father God, first of all, God, we just thank you, God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you, God, for the wisdom and grace and mercy you've shown us, oh God. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, oh God. We ask you to continue to guide and direct us, God. All wisdom and discernment, oh God, is from you, oh God. So we just say thank you right now, God. Father, we thank you, God, we're not who we used to be, oh God, and we're not also who we are going to be, oh God. We ask, God, that you, God, continue to guide us and direct us, oh God. Because, Father, we know, God, that being a man is it's hard. It's not easy, God. But, God, we know we can do all things through you who strengthen us, oh God. So we just say thank you right now, God. Father, lift up those men behind prison walls, those in hospital beds, God. Those who have sicknesses in their bodies, God. Those who are struggling spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, Lord God. We ask for deliverance right now, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. So, Father, we just say thank you. We come to you with grateful hearts, God. Continue, God, to bless and lead and guide the leaders, God, elders and deacons and those who serve in ministry, Lord God. Continue to strengthen them, oh God, and give them a spirit of persistence, oh God, that they will continue to strive, oh God, that, God, you would get the glory in all things that we do and say. And Father, that every man is listening today, oh God, who's come to faith in Jesus Christ and believes Jesus Christ, God, that they will stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Well, gentlemen, I want to talk about a couple things here. I'm going to start off with announcements, amen, amen. Well, we have, as always, I'm going to just remind you, October the 15th. The Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland. For those who live here locally in the D.C. metro area, it's right off of I-95 and 216. And it's Fulton, Maryland. It's Grace Community Church. They have a Higher Calling of Manhood workshop. It's going to be held on October the 15th at 9 a.m. I have the link here, or I can text you the link, or if you go on our Facebook page, the link for registration is there. It's a free event, but they're asking that you would register so they can keep a head count of the brothers going to be there, and also you can connect with the men there and connect with one another. But again, that's Higher Calling of Manhood Workshop, and that's Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland. Amen? Amen. So there's a couple of things coming up. We're looking to a lot of things coming up. For the brothers out there, elders, deacons, ministry, men's leaders, reach out to me. We're getting ready to go video. We're going to go video. I mean, I used to do video recordings in the public access, but we're setting up to go back into video and do live broadcast, live recordings, and continue the discussion, continue the encouragement, continue the teaching of men to encourage them. Because again, as I say, every ministry should have a men's ministry where a time where men come together in fellowship, encourage one another, and come alongside one another to be able to be discipled and mentored in the things of God and what it means to be a man. So one of the things we're looking to do coming up in the last quarter of the year is go to video. We're not sure what platform. There's so many platforms out here right now that we're going to use, but we'll definitely go back to video, and I invite you as pastor, elder, men's leadership, or if you just, anyone that comes, wants to sit at the table with us and have these discussions to be able to encourage one another. And then if you have any questions or topics that you want to discuss, let me know, text me, reach out to me, and I can bring together a council of wisdom that we might be able to hash these things out. The Bible says we should sit and reason together on the Word of God that we might encourage one another. Amen? So that's coming up in the last quarter. I think the first one is going to be in October. And if you are interested, please reach out to me and I'll give you a location and times when we're going to be doing the video. And we're going to bring, video conversation back. YouTube and Facebook and all these things, all these different platforms. We're going to figure this out. We're working on it now. I got a mind brain trust trying to sort through it all and the logistics of it all. So I encourage you for that. Also, amen, amen. Also, as always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we always want to touch on doctrine because I always want to encourage us. We don't assume that that everyone hears that, listens, and knows the gospel, heard the gospel, understands the gospel. But as we are called to fulfill the Great Commission, we all are called to have an understanding of the gospel, who Christ is, who God is, and who we are as men and what God has done for us. But today I want to talk about God the Father. And I'm going to give you just a simple doctrine, simple milk of doctrine that we can understand. Because again, as we share the gospel, as we evangelize, we have to be able to share the word of God in the simplest way that the unbeliever can understand, and then tie that to scripture and what the Bible says. But also in our conversations, we should be able to share. So let me say this to you. Who is God? God is all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, even in both the natural and spiritual realms, is under his complete control. And that includes our salvation. No matter how many times we've tried to turn away from the Lord, he continues to seek us in his complete and sovereign grace. And that's the thing we have to tell people, that God is in control. He's all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful. This is God the Father that we're talking about, the God of creation, the God in Genesis, the God that's throughout the whole Bible, God the Father. Amen? So we have to understand, too, that who God is. I want to give you a scripture reference for your deeper study of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Because we know that God desires all to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth is that there is one God. Sin separates us from him, and only faith in Jesus Christ reconciles us back to him. This is the basic gospel of who God is and who God the Father is. And these are the things that we have to be able to share in that simplest form. That was a two-minute gospel there. And after that, we follow up with individuals, and even we study for ourselves to make sure this thing is rooted and planted and seated within our spirit, that we are able to share this knowledge and the true gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone out there, and also to encourage each other as we live out this Christian faith and Christian walk. Amen? So that's my doctrine, because we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. So I'll leave that right there. Amen? Amen. Well, today, like I said, we're going to talk about a couple things here. We're going to touch upon some character traits of who we are in Christ. Because along with knowing what we believe and why we believe it, we have to know who we are and what it means. A couple of things, but a couple of topics we're going to talk on today is about compassion versus indifference and boldness versus fearfulness. And then from there, we'll see how far we get. Amen. We see what time permits. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? How are you?
Yes. Good morning. I'm blessed. Thank you, as always, for the opportunity to be with you, to share with you, to converse with you, and just to discuss. It's just some wonderful opportunity, so thank you once again.
Amen, brother. Amen. Bro, you're like a regular co-host, man. Amen, amen. You're my co-conspirator, brother. You're my co-conspirator, you know, because, you know, when I call you, you're available. So you're like a co-conspirator. We're going down together, or we're rising up together, whichever way it goes.
Okay, I hope it's rising, but okay.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. But, okay, well, today I want to talk about some of the things that we previously talked as we prepare for the show. And I'm going to start with compassion versus indifference. And I think this is one of the things that we really, really have to, as men of God, we have to look at. And like I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, all ministry, any ministry, all ministry must start in our homes. For the married man, it's our wives, as fathers and husbands, our wives and children. That's where all our ministry starts. That's where all our character traits, that how we are different, how we change, how we live, it all starts there. Because I can always say it doesn't really matter what a man does, what we see you do in ministry to the culture, to the world, but what ministry are you doing within your home? And again, Amen. We have to just be able to examine ourselves and see where we are. Because sometimes we get caught up, we get busy, there's a lot of things pulling on us. But are we living this thing out in our homes as husbands and fathers and sons? Amen. So when you talk about compassion and indifference, it's about investing whatever is necessary to heal the hurt in others. And that's having compassion. I'm going to give a scripture real quick for your deep dive. As always, I remind you to always have a paper and piece of paper, pencil, to write down some of the scriptures for a deep dive in your private devotional time into the topics we talk about. We're going to have 1 John chapter 3, verse number 17, as I kick off there. But, brother, I'm going to come to you. And what do you say the importance of who we are in Christ when it comes to compassion versus indifference? What do you say?
You know, it's one thing, and I love that you specifically spoke to the married man about dealing with your wife. And, you know, I just want to touch on that in that area. You know, a lot of times we go through our day, and the issues that we faced have caused us to have an attitude, to cause us to just be in a different place. But our compassion is that even in our own issues, in our own problems, we're still taking the time out to not only help our wives to deal with hers, but walking with her that we can deal with ours. You know, it's a cliche statement, I guess you might say, but a king is made with a queen. And if you want your kingdom to stand strong, you got to ensure that your queen is standing strong. So sometimes you got to drop the very things that you desire to uplift her. And that's compassion, you know, sometimes ignoring your own feelings and your own desires to ensure that she has what she needs. And sometimes that's just your comfort. And, you know, we as men, we try to be, my wife and I discussed this on a show, we discussed this as well, that, you know, sometimes men, we have to realize that our compassion for our wife isn't always fixing her issue, but letting her know that we understand and are walking with her through her issue. You know, we are the fix-it type of people, and sometimes our desire to be compassionate, our desire to fix, we end up causing more issue because we're trying to fix it in our own understanding. But we have to recognize that sometimes the healing that your wife needs and even that your kids need or just others in general that they need isn't what you would do from your perspective. It's sometimes they need to be comforted in their own healing. They need to be comforted in their own direction. And not that your direction is wrong or theirs is wrong or there's a big difference, but just the way we move and the way we flow through things, sometimes we have to be willing to understand that our way isn't always the best way because our way is from our perspective, a man's perspective, and we may have seen something different that day that could change the very way we think about things, whereas our wives still need us to stand strong, to walk with them, to carry them through, to help them through, and just ignore some things that are really plaguing us sometimes. You know, it's almost the analogy, you know, when your back's hurting and her feet's hurting, rub her feet so she can stand up and rub your back. Back to you, sir.
Amen, bro. That was a good one, brother. I like that. Got to get her right so that she can now minister to me. I like that. That was good. That was a good one, bro. You caught me off guard with that. Amen. But yes, amen. But let me go. Let me go to scripture because I want to go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, and it says, "Well, let me start at 16. Because it says, but this we know, love. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And this is about us. Does the love of God abide in us? Are we indifferent to the things around us? Like I say, as always, like I said, we touched on as a married, as a husband, and as a father. And now we have to. Now I want to expand this because I want to expand this to the body of Christ, to our local congregation, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because this is why we're called to be the church and be part of a congregation and part of a church. There's a lot of needs out there, emotional, spiritual, physical, financial, that we as a church should be have compassion and to help one another to sustain and to keep going and press in and to be able to endure some things. And if we don't have that and if we don't show that as men, because we set the tone and we set the atmosphere, this is why some areas of the church suffer, because we're indifferent to stuff. We hear about people struggling. We know about people struggling, but we do nothing about it. But I think it is a heart condition, because, you know, Jesus had compassion when he saw it. There were so many examples in the Gospels when Jesus was doing his three-year ministry where he took compassion on the sinner. He took compassion on the lost, the woman at the well, the lunatic, the brother at the well of Bethesda. He took compassion on them and performed miracles to the will of God, to glorify God. So we are called to do the same thing, to have compassion to those around us that are struggling. And brothers, let me say this too. We have to be in a place where when we are in need and we need some help, that we have a circle, we have someone in our lives, in the body of Christ, that we can confide in. Because some of this also is about transparency. Christ knew what people needed, but sometimes we don't know, or people don't know what we might need unless we are in those true, transparent fellowships. We're in koinonia. We engage with one another, and we have someone we can share with. And it could be the littlest thing. It could be stressful moments, stressful times, that you just can get some stuff off your chest, or it can be physical, emotional, where we just need the comfort and to have be friendly, be friends, have a friendships, have connections. Because this is the things that the enemy uses to destroy us. And if he breaks us down and destroys us as men, he can break down and destroy the family, no matter what we're going through. I can always say, I know my brother, you know, him and his wife are doing a ministry of podcasts right now. But marriage, I've learned this over the years, and this is my new 2022 saying, is that, you know, we're married to different people, but all marriage is the same. The stresses, the tests, and the challenges, believe it or not,
amen,
are the same.
Amen.
And we have a lot of things in common, but we have to be able to be connected with those who can give a testimony, who can even encourage us. Because, again, if we walk around with secrets, we walk around with issues, and we don't deal with those issues, the enemy has won. And it's going to manifest itself in a lot of ways. That's my greatest advice I can share with any brother that's listening. Whatever you're going through, let somebody know. Seek some help. Seek some guidance. But again, we as men of God, when we get to a certain level, we are called to have compassion. So when we have something, I know the Bible here, everybody reads that scripture, and it thinks we're talking about physical or monetary. But remember, the spiritual gifts of God has given us to edify the church, to encourage the church, to encourage one another. That spiritual gift that I have, that I can pray, and that I can help pray with you and pray for you. These are the things that we need to share. We don't lie. We don't, you know, it's like studying and gaining all this knowledge, and we never share. We're never going out. We're never giving. We're taking a lot in, but we're never giving nothing away in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have to sit back and think about that. What are we doing? Why are we studying the word so much, getting all this word in us, but yet we're not living it out? We're not applying it, and we're not showing the love of Christ. Amen? What do you say, sir?
I'm really touched by what you said, and just speaking to the men and just that compassion can only be shared through communication. And that communication is a two-way street. You know, it's something even in our close relationships with those we call our friends, our relationships with our wives, with our spouses, you know, our expectancy is because they know us, they understand everything about us, and should then be able to give compassion in our situation. But if we don't take the time to explain what's going on, to talk to somebody, to share, like Deacon Frost said, to be transparent. Transparency is not a weakness. It's actually a strength, because you're strong enough to stand up and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. I need help. that is a strength that every man should have, that he can be transparent with those in his inner circle and those around him, his wife, his friends, the men of his church, that they can stand strong together. Because without that level of communication, nobody knows what you need and can best not show you compassion. And instantly we draw an attitude and feel like what the enemy is saying, that nobody trusts you, nobody's there for you, nobody has your back, and that God has let you down in your situation is because we haven't communicated with someone who can share what God really can help us to see what God is really doing in a situation for us. Sometimes our perspective is so far off because it's been perverted by the enemy. By when we go through things, you know, it's something to just every day you go through something and it changes. Thought about it. Imagine coming home from a day at work and you've just had, your day has just been terrible. Everything you could possibly go wrong at work has been going wrong. You've had an argument with a coworker. You got written up. Everything that just, you know, normally you would come home happy from a day at work. When you walk in with that frown on your face, you don't communicate anything with your wife, and she's all giddy and happy. Hey, babe, the normal happiness, because your day was good, she's ready to share that with you. And the first thing you do is snap because you haven't shared with her, hey, babe, this has really been a bad day. I kind of need to talk this out. I kind of need a few minutes by myself. You know, sometimes we have to let someone know how they can show us compassion, and that person can let us know how they need us to be compassionate for them. Sometimes, like I said before, our perspective isn't always the best way to fix somebody else's issue or to help somebody through. But I just want to just touch on that main part of compassion is communication. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. And let me say this, because also when we're talking about the Word of God, this is something that God just put on my heart to say, that even when we talk about forgiveness and reconciliation, that's a form of compassion too. Because, you know, let me say it like this. Everybody has done somebody wrong. I think that was a song back in the day. Even when we, in our relationships, you know, that we have to know that, you know, we have to have that heart of forgiveness, compassion, because sometimes people do things or say things and they don't even know that they hurt you. But when we have compassion, understand that they are, we say this as a cliche, but every man, every woman, man, woman, child is a work in progress of what God is doing in their life. And we have to understand that everyone has issues. But we can't let everything, every little thing that people do bring separation. Let me say it like that. Because like I said, everybody has done somebody wrong. And in the body of Christ, you know, we have to be careful that we forget. Because remember, we are all sinners saved by the grace of God, because we have done and continue to fall short of his glory. But yet he still has compassion on us because he forgives us when we seek forgiveness. We repent, we continue and move on. And now we need to bring that same love and compassion that God has for us into our we need to activate that in our lives when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to dealing one to another. And I'm talking about your congregation, the church that you apply, the local believers that you fellowship with every week. This is where the love of God it should be shown. You know what I mean? I mean, we got to sit back and think about that. I know some women sneak in here and listen to the show, but that's okay. But I say that to the sisters also. You know, let me say this. The thing that we talk about, issues Christian men talk, they're cross-gender. I'll throw that out there. But I'm focused on the brothers right now because I know if I make a brother better, I can make the community and family better. Amen? Amen. 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 I hope I said that right so I don't get in trouble. Amen. But anyway, we're going to shift gears right now. Amen. We're going to talk. Amen. You know, listen, issues Christian men talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark. And we are here live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You also can reach out on us at Issues Christian Miss Talk on the Facebook page. Send us messages. Again, I encourage you, brothers, as we get ready to go into the fall season, a lot of things are going on. And I know you brothers know that football is coming back. However, we got a lot of men's ministry groups are coming, forming. I've gotten texts and links and emails about men's groups starting up, Bible studies. So if you have one coming up, please let me know. We'll post it. If you go on the Facebook page, the ones that I'm hearing about, I am posting there. If you want to text me directly, I can send you some of the stuff. You may not be on Facebook or, you know, you may not see it. But if you are interested, there's a lot of things coming up. Matter of fact, there's something coming up on September the 24th. Man, I just thought about it, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'll get it out there. September the 24th at the Golden Corral in Hanover, Maryland. There it is. I got it. September the 24th, the Golden Corral, Hanover, Maryland, near the Arundel Mills Shopping Mall at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. It's totally free. Men's breakfast, men's gathering, September the 24th. Amen. I got that out there. And Pastor Jesse Young is the pastor there, and he's inviting men. It's open to all brothers. September the 24th, 7 a.m. to 4 a.m., the Golden Corral in Arundel Mills. Amen. In Hanover, Maryland. Amen. Well, let's go to our next segment here. We're going to talk about boldness and fearfulness. This is something that we really, when this part came to me and thought about, we are bold because we have, okay, each of us, we have boldness in one arena, and in other arenas, we act like we're fearful. We're afraid to speak up. We go from being a lion in one circumstance to a mouse in another. So we talk about boldness versus fearfulness. And when we talk about that, I'm going to share this. Well, let's go to the scripture, because this was something that even the apostles had to deal with. In Acts chapter 4. Brother Elder, can you hear me? You there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Amen. All right, amen. Could you read that for me? Acts chapter 4, what's the verse I'm going to add? 29. If you could find that for me. Because, you know, we all call. You got it. All right, amen. Well, go ahead.
And now, Lord, take note of their threat, and grant that thy bondservant may speak thy word with all confidence. That's Acts 4 and 29.
Amen. And for a little bit of background, because when I read that, it's about all, we are all called to speak the boldness and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The boldness to speak truth in all circumstances and all situations. And I think that's something we have to be confident in, because the confidence that we have to say and do is truth and right and just in the sight of God. So the things that we call to do, even as husbands and fathers, even when we're in evangelism, when we're reaching out to the community, when we just in conversations at our jobs or in our community or whenever, is to have the confidence to always be able to share the truth of the gospel and the truth of the biblical teachings and biblical principles, especially when it comes to morality issues in this culture. We have to be able to speak up in confidence. When we talk about evangelism, everybody wants to, you know, share the gospel and tell people about Christ and why they must get saved. But in our day-to-day, that's what I want to say, in our day-to-day, a conversation, especially now when it comes to moral issues, what does the Bible say and how do we communicate that? And then when we hear something that's wrong, do we engage it or do we let it go? Now, it's different between boldness, fearfulness. There's wisdom and it's time to stand up, but everybody else is bold with what they're doing. I'm not even going to go down the list of things that now are quote-unquote have become normal and acceptable in this culture that were taboo, sin, and just wrong. But there's so much of it, I can't even list it all. I'll take up the rest of my show. But we know what the Word of God says. We know what the Word of God teaches. We know the morality that the Word of God, that who we are as Christ, that we are to call to live holy and righteous and obedient to Him. And we know the world's not doing that. But now, are we bold? Do we have the boldness within us and the confidence to stand up when given opportunity to stand up? What do you say, sir?
Amen, amen. You know, that boldness comes from taking time, as the word says, to study to show thyself approved. You know, we have to know what we know and believe that as we've been instructed, as we've learned, as we've gone to church, that we were getting godly counsel, and then even in that godly counsel, in those teachings that we took time to study and try to interpret for ourselves to get our own knowledge, our own understanding. You know, just like somebody can teach you how to do algebra, but the only way you can continue to do it is if you keep practicing it. You have to continue to work in it and continue to move through it and continue to dissect how to utilize it. And the Word of God is the same. It's a tool. It's a tool that can be used to solve the issues in your life, to help another person solve the issues in their life. So if you don't know how to use the tools, you can't tell somebody boldly how to work with them. You can't tell somebody boldly how to fix something. If you've never used a wrench, you can't tell somebody how to use a wrench. So if you're talking about salvation and you don't know what true salvation is or what the meaning of salvation is, how do you share it? But this scripture, Acts 29, says that we would be able to speak with all confidence, that we would have the understanding that we can speak out, we can speak to give encouragement to someone else, even encourage ourselves, because sometimes our situation that we're going through, we need that boldness to speak back to the enemy, because when he comes on attack, the enemy knows the Word of God and will spit it back at you to confuse you and have you in turmoil. But when you know what you stand on, when you know what the Word of God says about who you are, whose you are, and who you're called to be, that's where you can stand boldly and speak back, speak out into the atmosphere and take control of the very situation, take control of your marriage, take control of your household, take control and stand as a man who is called to be in the front line, stand as a man who's called to stand in the gap for his fellow brother, to stand strong. Like Deacon said, one of his giftings is prayer, and just that spirit that you can just pray for any situation, for anyone. All of us can do that, but some of us back down because we don't feel like we have the words to speak. But knowing what the scripture says and being able to give that back to God boldly is his word cannot return unto him void. So if you speak God's word back to him, if you speak boldly, if you speak that word, it's got to come to fruition. It's got to manifest. So when you speak those promises back to God, God, you said this, that, and the other. God, you said I would have. God, you said I should do. And if I did this, you would give this, or this would be the very result in my life. Whatever the case, whatever it may be, scripture has so much that you can use and build upon. But there's a boldness that we can speak out in when we understand and recognize the scripture, when we know the scripture, when we know the instructions that God has given for our life. But when we're walking in fearfulness, it's because you're uncomfortable. You don't know everything that you need to say. You can't correct when someone is trying to give ungodly counsel. Because if it sounds like doctrine and you don't know doctrine, it's easy that you may agree with it. So we need to walk in boldness, a boldness that we stand confident knowing the Word of God and what it says about our life and who we are, and once again, whose we are, and all the power that comes from standing in who God has called us to be. Back to you, sir.
Amen. And brothers, let me say this too. You know, the scripture is filled with principles and promises, and we have to really know how to handle it, how to apply it to our lives. Principles and promises. I just want to lay that on your spirit, because that's why we know the Word of God has an answer for all the issues of this life. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to raising our children, when it comes to our relationships, how we deal with one another, how we deal with each other in the body of Christ, how we deal with the unbeliever, how we deal with this culture, standing up for Christ, being salt and light. The principles and promises of the Word of God is how we live, is who we are. And these are the things also as men of God that we use to encourage one another. Because, you know, I always say here is that we are called as men to challenge, support, and hold each other accountable. I mean, it's as simple as that. And I encourage you that in your life, in this walk, as you live out this life, no matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been in church, no matter how long you've anything, this is what we all need. Because walking alone, we will tend to drift. We'll tend to compromise. We won't even recognize it. You know, it's that old proverb, cliche, or whatever it is. You put a frog in a pot of water and let it slowly boil and slowly turn the heat up. the frog will not jump out. He'll sit there until he's well done, and you can make a sandwich out of him. But you know, you throw a frog or something into a boiling hot water, they're going to jump out to save their lives. So this is why we have to be, you know, and when it comes to being bold, it is about us in the body of Christ and the brothers that we are around. Are we bold enough to challenge our brother? Do we love him enough to challenge our brother to speak? I believe it was Paul and Peter had an issue because Peter compromised and Paul pulled him up. He didn't pull him up in a way to the correct. He pulled him up to encourage him because of how he was representing the gospel, how he was representing the New Testament promises. You know what I mean? So we all fall short. But we are called, again, to encourage and challenge, support, and hold each other accountable. And that takes a boldness because, trust me, I know, it's hard to pull up a brother that you call your friend, your brother in Christ, to be able to stop and challenge him in something he's doing, how he's living. And I'll say this and I'll share this. You know, since I've been saved, I've seen men drift away. I've seen brothers who have just drifted. And when you pull them up, trust me, when you think that your relationship is in a place where you can actually challenge them on what they're doing or how they're living or what's going on with them, you really see who they truly are. And so you have to be in a place, too, for that. But just because you never know, the seed that seed that you plant, that you call them out, that you see them falling short, it may lead them to repentance. Because that's what we're all called, to call each other back to repentance, to keep each other on the path of righteousness, and to encourage one another. And sometimes that takes the boldness that we have to have. So it's just not being boldness from, a pastor told me one time, it's easy to be bold from the pulpit because nobody can get to you. But be bold in your one-on-one, in your close contact relationships, is where the love of God and where the Holy Spirit can lead and guide you. And that takes more boldness than to stand up on the pulpit and just, you know, and proclaim the gospel. I'll stop there. Brother, what do you say? Anything you want to add to that? Amen?
You said a lot that, wow. Yeah, you know, we have to be able to help our brother, but a brother, we have to also be able to accept help. Sometimes we are walking in a place where we're truly moving in the wrong direction. And I thank God for brothers like Deacon Fall who take the time to reach out and say, hey, brother, I see this has been going on. Maybe can I pray with you? Can I talk with you? Do you need to talk? Do you need to, you know, just – and, you know, that is truly what I mentioned, godly counsel and understanding godly counsel. You know, when we are fearful of our own lives, fearful of our situation, sometimes we don't want to hear that godly counsel because it's almost like we feel as though we're being condemned we're being condemned because we actually feel convicted when we hear someone else speak out what they see is going on. And a lot of times what we see is someone may tell you is going on is the Holy Spirit speaking to them. It may be a prophetic word that they receive to share with you, and you don't want to hear it because you don't want to change your situation. A lot of times, you know, it's let's just say, like, for instance, a married man who has a perspective, who just in this point where he's saying he just knows he's right about something. He knows the way he's acting or what he's doing is the right way to do, or what he considers is the best way out, the best way to deal with the situation. But someone else tries to give him counsel. You may be your best friend. You try to say, hey, bro, I think this is just, you know, maybe you should think about it this way. And they lose their cool. They flip out, who are you to tell me? And they this, that, and the other. And we've been through that situation. At least I have. Just trying to share with the brother, hey, you even asked me. And in short, the brother was dealing with some addiction issues and asked me, what should I do? So when I told him, you know, maybe you should go to rehab, and instead of coming back to the same neighborhood or coming back to the same people, you should try going someplace else for a little bit of time. You have some options. But his response was, I'm tired of everybody trying to tell me what to do, and to bleep with y'all. I'm like, wow. But, brother, you asked me for help. But sometimes we don't want to hear the very thing that's the most helpful for us because it hurts. But we have to be that one that's compassionate that says, hey, bro, you know what? I apologize that you're offended by what I say, but I only say what I say because I love you and I care about you. That's the compassion that comes out when you don't flip back out and give them back the same thing. When they bleep, bleep, bleeped you, bro, you know what? Maybe I should reapproach the way I approach you. I should try to approach you a different manner. I should have said it in a different manner, but I really truly believe this, but I'm only here to help. So if you want me to be a help here, I will always stand by you. I'll always be with you. I'll always walk with you. And when I discussed that and said that to the brother, it changed everything. Because no longer did he feel convicted or condemned about his judgment. He felt like somebody was trying to walk with him in it. So just be in that place, my brother. It's just a little nugget for thought. Sometimes we have to even think about just as when prophetic words are given, a prophet can't always just give the word the way it came. There has to be some discernment on how to share the word and the timing of sharing that particular word. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Amen, bro. That's true. It is about that. Because remember when we say about compassion, it's investing whatever is necessary to heal the hurts of others. So even in that, we have to know how to deal the compassion or apply the compassion to folk. Because when we know things need to be said to people, but we have to find a way, we have to pray, we have to be in a place where how we can say it, we have to sit back and figure out how we're going to say it. Because and what you said, brother, is true. Because sometimes folk ask you questions and they're not ready for the answer. But you have to be, again, you have to discern what they're really asking you or what answer will. It is about boldness. That's why we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because in our boldness, we have to have compassion. So we have to be bold in the truth, in the things that are true, in the truth of the gospel, in love. But then we have to, be able to, discern how are we going to present this thing. And then this brings us back to something else. One of the last ones we're going to talk about is cautiousness versus rashness. And knowing how important the right timing is in accomplishing the right actions. That tags right on along. He just tied that thing right in. Because we know what is right. We know what is true. But we also have to be cautious in what we're doing. We can't sometimes our rashness and even with the preaching of the gospel, calling sinners out, calling sinners to repentance. Sometimes we can't be rash to the point where they're not hearing us. We have to be cautious, but then we have to know, and that's about timing. It's not about, let me say this, it's not about compromise. That's the thing I want every man out there, every brother, husband, father, son. It's not about compromising about what we're doing, but it's about being cautious and how we are going to approach the issues. And when we're approaching, first of all, our own issues of our life. And again, as I say, all ministry starts in the home. And any brother out there who's been married, you got to be cautious on how you talk to your wife. I'm going to let y'all know that right now. I don't care if you've been married 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, or 35 years. You better be cautious when you talk to your wife. Amen? Now, if any questions, give us a call, 646-668-2636, and then we can deep dive into that. However, if you haven't learned that now, let me be the first to tell you. Because it is important about timing and how we do. Because, again, we are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And how much passion, caution, and patience has the Lord had with us in our walk. Even after we say we believe, we say we confess Christ as Savior and Lord. But yet, the correction comes, but it comes in the time when we will receive it, that we're not going to be broken down by it. Because we all going to be tested in areas, but then our test is for us to grow. God tests us with trials and temptations that we might grow in our faith. Because, again, when things happen to us, the things that we deal with, the things that we go through, these things are to strengthen our faith, and to lean more on him, knowing that he is in control. He is in control of all things. He is all power, and nothing happens that's a surprise to God. But it's for us to be able to draw closer to him to endure through these things. So when we're talking about being cautious, it's competing to be rash, knowing in right timing to accomplish the right actions. And I think that's, what do you say, sir? It's so much to that. I do believe that we struggle with as the body of Christ and as men of God. What do you say?
Amen, amen. It, once again, it goes back to the same conversation I had with the gentleman. Sometimes it's timing, the way we say things. We want to be the one, just as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we're the Mr. Fix-It. So we think when we've heard something from the Holy Spirit, the first thing is to blurt it out. The Holy Spirit shared this with me, and I need to let you know. But sometimes the Holy Spirit lets you know something that you can take and prepare and go before God, so that you can then take it to that man or take it to your family or utilize it even to maybe deal with your kids or to talk to your wife, or it could be your best friend or your brother, whoever it may be. Sometimes we have to understand that we have to take the time to discern how to deal with the issue. Sometimes we're shown the issue and automatically we feel like, I'm just going to scripture is going to give the, is going to tell the person what to do. But sometimes we hear what we need to hear to help a person, but the timing is where we have to take more time to listen. When you hear from God, it's a communication, it's a conversation. And hearing from God, the timing of what to do and how to help somebody is not always the end of the conversation. I'm sorry, not the timing, the way to help somebody is not always the end of the conversation. We have to wait and understand the timing, because if we go too far, if we jump out and we just jump out on our own understanding, it says lean not upon that of your own understanding. If we jump out on our own understanding, sometimes we can pervert the very word that God has for a person. We can give them the word in a manner which would just ruin everything. It could push them the wrong way. If they're the one that's actually you hear prophetically about a man's decision, a man deciding, a man contemplating divorce, and instantly you call him and you better not do this and you shouldn't do this because the word of God says this. Had you have taken the time to talk to him about what he's going through and counsel him rather than tell him how he's wrong about divorce, or take the time to understand the situation and then come with a solution, a God-given solution that you receive through godly counsel, taking the time for the Holy Spirit to work on you. Sometimes what we hear isn't always just about the person we hear. It's about us building a relationship and an understanding. So that cautiousness is a time where we hold back and kind of judge the situation. Like you don't just, in any fight, you don't just run in. You want to judge the strength and the character, and you want to judge the punch of the boxer on the other side of the ring. You want to study and see how he moves before you run in too close, because if you run in too close, you just might get knocked out. But if you stand back and jab for a few seconds, kind of feel the situation out, then you can go with that final blow that will actually take you into victory. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brothers. Amen. When we're talking about it, and then again, I'm going to give a scripture again as a deep dive for your study and for your knowledge and for your time of meditation. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and we're going to focus in on verse number 2, because we know Proverbs is the book of wisdom. But it says in Proverbs 19 and 2, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. And that's what we're talking about. When we get enthusiastic about something, we think we know the answer, we know what to do, we know what to say, this is what we need to do. I mean, brother, you just touched on it. That enthusiasm without knowledge, it's not good, because sometimes even in our cautiousness, and let me say this about when we the caution. Sometimes our cautiousness is to listen to our wives, to our kids, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to listen to what the issues of life are, what the issues that people are going through, and then also for us to listen to what God is going to say through His Spirit, and then through His Word, Because whenever folk come to you for encouragement, we have to be able to listen. Because sometimes like the brother said, some of us think we need to fix everything. Some of us just need to be an ear to hear, to let a person get it off their chest, to let them speak, and then to hear completely what's going on. And then God will speak to us if we need to reply or if we just need to pray. Because sometimes we don't need to give solutions. Sometimes we just need to encourage a person to seek God for themselves. But that's where we have to be cautious. So we can't be all enthusiastic that I have all the answers. I'm going to give wise and great counsel because I'm hearing from God and yada, 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 yada. I'll leave it like that. Amen? But, men and brothers, I pray that something was said today that would encourage you. Encourage your friendships. Encourage your relationships. In your marriage, relationship with your family, and relationship with your children. That in all that we're doing, in boldness, in cautiousness, and in compassion, that we're moving to a place where in Christ's likeness and our character, that we can live lives obedient, that we can be able to encourage the brethren, to be able to challenge the brethren, to be able to support the brethren, and then hold each other accountable. Because this walk, again, we need each other. We need the body of Christ. We need to be connected by community and by family. And this is how we glorify God. If we look around and all that's going on in the world today, the more compassion we have and the more boldness that we have for the things of God and the love that God has shown us, that we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we continue to press into these things. And again, to make the body of Christ stronger. I'll say it like that. Because us as the church must get stronger to be able to endure. Because we all know that the end, everyone I know preach, we talk about the end times, we talk about the things that's going on in the culture, but are we really ready for that? Are we really ready to endure the persecution to come? Are we really able to endure and give words of wisdom, even in the midst that we don't, until Christ comes back? Because we all see the signs, but that doesn't mean he's coming anytime soon. We may have to endure this thing for another 25 years, 30 years. 40 years, because God's time is his time. Just because we see the signs, that doesn't mean the expiration date is any nearer than it was when Christ first left. But we as the body of Christ and as men of God must endure through those things and continue to be salt and light. Amen. Elder brother, again, appreciate you, man, spending time. I'm going to give you the final word, and if you will, you can close us out in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Well, brothers, as Deacon said, the lesson, we just hope that words were said that would change your hearts, change your minds, do something good. It wasn't only a good discussion, but a discussion that would do good in your hearts and minds. And just remember to just walk in confidence, move in the right timing, and the right timing will be how you invest yourself into other people. And take that and just stand as characters of men. We're all godly men. We sometimes fall short, but we can all stand together supporting one another, growing with one another with discussions like this, taking the time to encourage and build up because iron does sharpen iron. Father God, we honor you. We bless you. We praise you. We just thank you for another opportunity to come before you, Lord God, and we present ourselves as humbly as we know how, giving you thanks, Lord God, for the discussion. Thank you, Lord God, for your time, Lord God, the time that we are spending with you, Lord God, the time that you invest in us, the time that you spend guiding us and molding us and making us that we would stand up and recognize whose we are and who we are, Lord God, as we stand as your willing and able servants. Continue to use us, mold us, and make us. Continue to guide us through each and every situation as we lean upon you and not that of our own understanding. Well, Lord God, we just want to say thank you for our brothers, for our friends. I lift my brother Deacon Farr to you, Lord God, and all the men listening, Lord God, all the women listening, Lord God. We just lift your people, Lord God, unto you, thanking you for the move upon all of our lives and every situation, every aspect. We need you. We call for you, Lord God, and we ask that you continue to bless us in the abundance that is you and you alone. And it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless. He who was and is and is to come, hide of fame before his throne forever. All the angels sing, they bow down.